Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, we're getting started. It's hot and it's an interesting morning. I heard, you know, it's a little early, but in July, new laws take effect. They've had a new law that just came out. I heard it this morning that it's now illegal for melons to marry outside of a church. They can't elope. That's Mark Doctors. I got to pass the buck here. By the way, do you know what a dad joke is? A dad joke is when the punchline becomes apparent. Moving on, by the way, by way of announcements, we have a beautiful morning worship gathering, time to begin our day. We are working on the stained glass windows. I don't know if you know, but the stained glass windows at the end of this hall had sustained some damage, and we wanted to do some things about that. We've gotten a gift from a benefactor that wanted to do some work on that. So some stained glass work has been done back there, and there are three panes in the right-hand corner that we want your opinion whether or not we want to put those in. So take a moment, not right now, and not during the sermon, but after worship, try and remember to wander down there and take a look. A couple of Tongan things there, and we want the Tongan feedback and, you know, whether or not he's interpreting those appropriately and you're happy with them. So we're hoping to reflect our heritage and some interesting stuff. Take a look. I think you'll like doing that. What else for the good of the order as we are about our announcement time? Michael, would you give the microphone to Stephanie Iverson, because someone has gotten out of hand downstairs, and I don't know what's going on down there. What's going on down there, Miss Stephanie?
So tomorrow is the start of our vacation Bible school, so SCUBA. So downstairs, we've got it all decorated, ready to go.
You should go down there. Be careful. There are anemone. Is that what those call?
Jellyfish.
The what?
Jellyfish.
Yeah, and you want, I'm not an ocean kind of person, but I understand some jellyfish sting, don't they? But these apparently don't. So beware walking down through the deep blue. Take a deep breath and hold your breath, and you can make it down through the under the sea there. Vacation Bible School, if you have any kiddos or whatever, make sure and aware. Did you have something, Miss Diana? Hold on.
There we go. As you all probably remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had the funeral in here of Betty Luckus, and the family left some Sudoku books that they don't use and nobody in their family wants them. I'm more than willing to take them home, but if there's another Sudoku fan such as I am, I would be willing to share with you some of them. Most of them are very easy ones, crazy. And this is a little pocket one. Some of them have a couple done in them, but, you know, it doesn't hurt. So if you want one, let me know. Thank you.
Sudokuists. I don't know if that's the term or not. Fathers, we're handing out gifts to Father on Father for the Father's Day celebration. We were about remembering Father. How many of you remembered it was Father's Day? Good. Hey, everybody's more awake than me, and that's a wonderful thing. So, any men, you don't have to prove you're a father or profess you are or what have you. So, but Linda Emerson made these gifts, and we're grateful for you for doing that. She is so such fun, and a little bit of a gift there. Other things for the good of the order. What other things do we need by way of announcements? Debbie Gunther, are you poised to stand? She is. Debbie Gunther, missions. We need to... That's this Thursday, isn't it, Legends?
It was last week.
Pardon me?
It was last Thursday.
Oh, dear.
But I wanted to say thank you for everyone that came to Legends. And July will be July 16th at Paddleboard Pizza. And thank you for all your support.
Thank you, Debbie, for coordinating that and recruiting restaurants that will host us and give us some... recompense for our work there. I am a padre. Thank you, thank you. Oh my goodness, it's candy. I'll see you all later. There's a light in here. Mine didn't start. I bet I have to take off a little safety tag inside, but this is good because I could use a light to guide me. Amen. All right, thank you, and thank you in celebrations for that. Any other things for the good of the order by way of announcements? If not, let's stand, greet one another, wave hello, and let's prepare for our call to worship.
If you will, join me in the call to worship. I invite us to gather in worship. We are blessed to gather in the presence of the Almighty. We come to offer our song, our prayers, and our love to God who loved us first. Lord God, grant us to your child closer and closer to you. Help us remember who we are. Lord, help us remember whose we are.
If you'll join me now in the hymn of 141, Children of the Heavenly God. Be seated.
This is Psalm 103, chapter 1, verse 13 through 19. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We might have to start paying her. She does a nice job, doesn't she? By way of prayers of concern, we lift some of those on the back of the bulletin. We won't read them because we are blessed with teachers who have taught us to read, and so we are literate. But are there updates to any of those that you see on the back of the bulletin? I want to keep those before you, just be aware. We want to especially be aware of those in war-torn areas. Prayers for the Middle East, especially where peace treaties are in the offing, it is possible that this may end some conflict. Pray, and pray hard. Amen? No other concerns before us? I don't see any other hands going up or any others listed. Maybe that's good news, and we're grateful. By way of celebrations, I have down that this coming Friday, the 21st, is Shelley Rayburn's birthday. And also that this coming Friday is Rick and Carol Ottenreese's anniversary, 49 years of marriage. So we celebrate them. Any others? I want to make sure to also welcome and greet those who are watching us online. Maybe Rick and Carol are doing that. And they celebrated Rick's mother's passing at a graveside service last week. Nalu was able to go and do that service for them, and so we are grateful. But we want to continue to acknowledge both our online presence and our in-person worshipers. Our church family is different than it has ever been before, but it is all still under the fatherhood of our Lord. Amen. Are there any other celebrations that you want to lift this morning? Special things that are... You're awfully quiet. That worries me a lot. Let's join together the unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayer. God of the needy and deprived, God of the wealthy and powerful, Lord God, hear our prayer. God of the young and the old, God of saints and sinners, we are all in need of your word. We entrust our most precious to your love. We entrust our children, our family, our friends. Lord, we entrust our enemies to your care. Care for those we know. Care for those we have not yet met in your compassion and energy. Lord God, hear our prayer. Entrust us now with your transforming good news. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to come and gather. On this Father's Day, we recognize fathers who have gifted us. We especially celebrate good fathers, men of worth, men of character, men of integrity who have instilled in us ways of righteousness. We lift those who are with us still, who gift us with their wisdom and their grace. We lift those who have passed and who rest from their labors. Lord, as we come and gather, we also pause to acknowledge, as parents, the challenge of being good parents, fathers who are good to their children, who are filled with wisdom, whose acts are acts of grace, whose being is a gift, who are instilled with your wisdom, Lord, and who share their love with all those they meet. We lift, Lord, all of those who seek to be good parents. Guide us, Lord, that we might know how to have the wisdom, the grace, and the love to be the fathers that we would like to be for our children. And Lord, we pray for those children who are growing up without fathers. May they find men of worth to be models of integrity, of love, of faithfulness, of grace. May all of your children, Lord, find comfort with wonderful fathers. We come before you, Lord, knowing that there are other prayers on our hearts, the hearts that are prayers that are shared in silence, prayers that are private. You hear them all, and we are grateful. You grace us beyond our need to ask. You guide and direct us. You nudge and unsettle us. Lord, you are our Father, and we are grateful. Be with us this day, Lord. Be with us as we come and gather in worship, that we acknowledge you as the guide for all ways to be, the gift of righteousness and truth and justice and love. Be with us, Lord. Be with us as we come and we gather, and as we gather with brother and sister from around the world, as we gather with the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Richard Schneer is going to offer us a prayerful Father's Day number, please.
Fear him like as a father.
If you are able, please stand. This is Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces itself of itself, for the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can be compared the kingdom of God? Of what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word of them. To them, as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, Miss Stephanie, I invite you forward, youngins of all ages. Come down. Those of you who are gifted with the gift of movement, come forward. Guide us. Lead us. Come on, Samu. All right. All That Is Good is our VBS video for the morning. All right. You need to know that during VBS, every morning they do this for hours. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful and full of energy. Get your exercise here. Get a little bit of aerobics, please.
You're watching Hungry Kids. Comes from above. This is our God shining on us.
Well done, well done. Thank you all. Did you get a little exercise in there? You saw at the very beginning of that video, that was a llama and a mama llama. I just love that phrase, mama llama. So have you ever met a llama or any of them? Yeah, kind of fun. Richard, thank you for your gift of your celebration this morning of your song, of your anthem. Fear of the Lord, it's an interesting phrase, and I've had more questions about that from people over the years than about any phrase that we have around our reference to God. And at one point in history, fear of God probably was the best interpretation of how people needed to behave, because people did not behave unless they were afraid. You had to put the fear in them or else. And so the fear of the Lord was a sense of saying, you better do this or else. I don't know how your parents are, how your dad was raising you. My dad never got mad. He was just calm, and my dad was a saint. Wasn't perfect, but he was close. And he was wonderful, and I'm grateful, and I miss him every minute. But I never feared him. I wanted to do what was right, and the worst thing I could do is do something that would disappoint him, and I knew that. So we look at that word, fear of the Lord, and we need to kind of take and think about what that means to us today. The word respect fits in, perhaps, but it's more than just respect. We can have respect for people, for teachers, for colleagues. The word fealty comes in, but fealty has to do with an owner of a castle and the serfs that owe the castle keeper something. And so fealty was a sense of property, and so that's not quite right either. Obedience fits for the term, obedience to the Lord. And it's a good term, and it's an important term, not in the sense of legal codes and laws and you must obey the strict order of life. Keeping the Sabbath means you can't turn on and off a light switch on Sunday. That is not the kind of obedience God is calling for. But it does have to do with some obedience, doesn't it? It's a serious and vital term. It means placing God as our first priority. Fear of the Lord. Richard sang the music piece, and so we heard that. Those who fear the Lord, put the Lord first. Make God our first priority. It's an important piece, and putting God first means listening to God, how God speaks to us. And even through the new commandment of Christ, love one another. And that has to take precedence over everything else. How do we love someone regardless of all the other things that we might be about and in our relationships, and how we are to love one another? That was in the psalm. Love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord's righteousness to children's children. That righteousness to the children's children can be misconstrued. It might feel like we're saying that if you do something good, it guarantees your children and their children will never have anything bad happen to them. And some people seem to feel that that's how it works. And that if they have been faithful and something awful happens, their faith is diminished. They sometimes fall away. And that's a sad realization of a misinterpretation. But it's important to note that what we do does benefit our children. From children to children, everlasting. And that has to do with changing ourselves. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My mom was caught by that disease, and my older sister. I don't think my older sister has had anything to drink in a couple decades now, but I'm not around her very much, and so I don't know for sure. She is not suffering debilitation from the disease at this point. But my mom, it was a difficult time growing up. And at some point in time, I knew that for me, I had to separate away from that. I had to just take and separate myself from that family and all the structure that happens around an alcoholic family. There's a lot in that. If you're interested, Sharon Wegscheider did some excellent work on that. Her book opened my eyes and helped me see and helped me heal. But for 7 years, I had nothing to do with anyone in my family, my mother, my father. I just had to separate myself away and find a way of being in the world that was not around that alcoholic family method. I discovered years later when I reconnected that my stepping aside helped them face the issue. I didn't intend that. It wasn't something that I had planned or, you know, even prayed for. I had no hint that it might occur, but by changing my place in the system, they were faced to confront some things. And my mother stopped drinking. She was still an alcoholic. The temptation was there. And when Dad was out of town, yeah, the bottle came out. It's a disease. But nonetheless, by changing ourselves and recentering ourselves in God, we can change those around us. Not that that's our goal, or not that we are supposed to aim to do that. God does that. We just do us. Now I'm getting down into some stuff that has to do with years of counseling around that. And we don't want to go down there too far, but we need to understand that what we do will have impact on those around us, both good and bad. Now, before any of you go into a guilt thing about, oh my goodness, if I make a mistake and do something wrong, I'm going to irreparably scar my children or those around me, we are the pots of clay, and we do make mistakes. And if we do make mistakes, we have a gift, and that if we truly come and repent of our heart, we are forgiven, and we can go on. Hadley, thank you for noting during the Lord's Prayer, she said, I skipped a piece. It's all right, I'm still learning it. I've only been doing it for 30 years. Forgive me. Things happen. I hope none of you were scarred by that. I hope we can all smile and move on and know that we are all finite and we all make mistakes. Amen? Thank you for that. So to reiterate, putting Christ first is our priority. Centering on God's love and God's everlasting love allows us to be a gift to our children. And that's important, and that's in something that we can dream of, that we can pray for. And I have bad news, we may not ever see the result. We may not ever see the result. You see, well, let me start another place. What is the difference between a blossom and a bloom? Now, I knew that all the gardeners in here are intelligent, capable, competent, and I sincerely was hoping someone could give me a difference there, but I don't see any hands going up, and I didn't hear anyone offering up a difference. I don't know the difference between a bloom and a blossom. Maybe they are synonyms that they fit nicely together. I don't know. I am not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb. My sister Christine is a master gardener. I swear she could take a rock and make it grow into something. She is awesome. I am not. A couple years ago, I decided that I love marigolds, and I love to put them in pots around my house. And I always go and buy these things, and they're expensive. But I saw in a store you could buy a little thing and plant the seeds, and it had a little cover you put over it, and you put water in the bottom, and they will all sprout up, and then when it's time, you transplant them. And I thought, this is cheap, and this is easy, and even I could do this. So I got it all started and everything going along, and I was diligent for about a week, and I forgot about it. And when I finally went to look, I lifted the little cover off, and the plants had grown up and hit the roof, and we're all bent over because they had grown too big, and I hadn't taken the cover off in time. It was guilt stricken. Some of them survived being transplanted outside, but I just had to acknowledge I am just not much of a gardener. I just can't make things happen the way they ought to happen. And that's just the way it is. But there's good news, you see, because God is a gardener. Not only is a gardener, but a great gardener. Look at the garden that God has created, creation. Have you looked around you lately? I was in the backyard the other day, and I just looked up, and my neighbor's got this tree that sits in just the right spot. And I looked up, and I thought, a tree is an amazing thing. Have you ever thought about all the little branches and all the and it's all fleshed out in all the right places, and the leaves are fantastic. What an incredible creation. And then I looked around at flowers and blooms and blossoms, whichever one that happens to be. I even looked, and there are weeds growing around my property, and even they had blossoms on them. God's creation. I didn't see the growth. And it's true that we may not see growth around us in our lives. We may be mustard seeds. We may never see the mustard plant grown so large that the birds make their nests in its branches. It's okay to be the seeds. We do what we can. We have to do what we can with integrity and try and be the seed that we're called to be. Do it with reverence, respect to the Lord. Do our best job at it. The seeds that God plants then, they help flower into blossoms, into blooms. We get a little frustrated sometimes when we try and do the right thing, we try and live the right way, and it doesn't seem like the world around us is behaving itself. We do not perceive the entire garden. We may not ever understand how the garden is laid out. We may not understand the flower gardens and what's supposed to be growing and what's supposed to be growing next to us and may seem like a weed. I grew up living next to a weed or two, did you? I wasn't sure if they were weeds, though, so I leave it be and let God decide. And I discovered some of those weeds turned out to be flowers, turned out to be beneficial. We may not know and understand. That's what Jesus said in his parable. The seed would sprout, and the person who sowed it does not know how it sprouted and how it grew. In ancient times, they could see the seed of a piece of corn, and you stick it in the ground, and it would grow into a corn plant. And they didn't understand that fertilization and the things that have to happen with bees and Mike's bees that are out fertilizing the trees and the plants and the flowers. They didn't understand the entire chain of life. They only perceived a piece of it and saw what understanding. And that might be a stumbling block for most humans. We want to know what the plan is, and we want to be able to judge it and see a time lapse to make sure that we're on track. Is it hubris? I don't know. Is it human nature? Probably. Does it matter? Maybe not. As long as we return to being faithful and trying to move on to perfection. I'm not perfect. If you are, grace and peace to you. I'm trying. And next Sunday, I'll probably have the Lord's Prayer written out here so that I don't get lost again. 30 years, you'd think that I wouldn't get lost, but hey, what happens? We may not understand all of the growth and the life and the master plan. We may not see anything. We may see nothing at all. It doesn't mean we have failed. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up to become the greatest of all shrubs. I did a little bit of research, and I understand that actually mustard plants are an invasive species here in North America. Jesus didn't need to share that, I guess. It wasn't important then, but we know what the parable means. We understand what's going on there, and we can perceive how small a mustard seed is and how great a mustard plant is, and we understand that God is the gardener. Fear the Lord, Richard sang. Obey. Offer your obedience and your reverence and your loyalty. Do the best you can, and when you stumble, know that God is there to pick you up and keep on going. And in all things, love one another. Amen. Miss Barbara, if I could ask you to come up and direct us. Lady Di, where are you? There, she's hiding back in the corner back here. Our last hymn, stand if you will. This is My Father's World, number 144. Any fellows who did not get the gift, if you came in a little late, we have Father's Day gift. Make sure that you get one of those. Well, the ushers can direct and guide us. Please. Amen. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you all for gathering our voices together. Happy Father's Day. On this day, we turn to fear the Lord. We turn to offer our reverence to the Lord, our obedience to the Lord, the perfect Father, in whose name we gather with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing.
Oh, no.
And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.